Letter M, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And I just want to challenge you. Never doubt in the night what God gave you in the light. Let's say that together. Never doubt in the night what God gave you in the light. Stay with it. Stay with it. And you're going to have lonely times. I have friends who preach for several weeks just to their family. And it's good. Read the stories about guys that start with 500. Try to start with 500. Try to have good things like that. But I'm just saying, if it doesn't go according to that script, trust God. Have faith in God. And God is sovereign in these matters. And God's going to bring in according as he deals. And so it's just going to be at different seasons of momentum. But just keep trusting the Lord. Letter N. Guard the pulpit from the earliest days. Guard the pulpit. Take heed to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Jude in verse 4. Beware of ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying our Lord Jesus Christ. In your early days, guard that pulpit from false doctrine, from teachers that are not truly sound, all right? We've covered Roman numeral 1, the priority of biblical principles. Number 2, the philosophy of a biblical church planter we've talked about. Number 3, practical matters for the church planters. I know we're running on time here. I'm going to try to hurry through this last part. Practical matters for the church planter. Letter A, you want to develop a one-year calendar of preaching and events. Develop a one-year calendar. Okay, we started with biblical principles. We went to some philosophy. Now we're talking practical. Develop a one-year calendar of events. Luke 19:13, Jesus said, occupy till I come. Let's say that together. All right, so don't take the attitude, well, the homosexuals are taking over or the whole world's caving in. No, no, no. You've got to make a plan and plan to stay. Dr. Lee Robertson often said to me, now, pastor of the city, pastor of the city. And I remember thinking to myself, I'd like to just pastor my church. Maybe just my kids sometimes. The whole city? You know what he was telling me? Put your picture on those tracks, pass those tracks out. You know what? When I go to the mall now, people that I've never met, hey, pastor, how you doing? People that love me, hey, pastor, people that hate me, people that are members, people that used to be members. Lots of people in this city that we know. It takes time, but stay faithful. Occupy until he comes, all right? And so develop that calendar. Get your messages for a year. Now, look at right here, man. You don't have to have the message done, but you need to know where you're going. I always recommend the book of 1 Thessalonians is a great start for Sunday nights. That's what I did my first year here. Marks of a mighty church. Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. That's what I preach first Sunday, the first Sunday night. Then I love teaching the Baptist distinctives in those early years, sometime along the way in the Sunday school hour and so forth. But you mark out, this is what I'm going to preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Some of you may not have a Sunday night right away. I recommend that because it's a precedent issue, you start having it as soon as you can. I love Sunday night. That's our preaching hour. That's what we're challenging the Christians with the Christian life. All right, letter B. Letter B, choose a location wisely. So letter A, you get your calendar. That has your preaching. That has your revival meetings. That has all the youth activities. That's the calendar. All right, letter B, choose a location wisely. Do not select a city near a church of your former employment. Look for a city without another independent Baptist church. We have guest pastors here. I don't know where you're all from, so don't take this wrong. But I mean, I got a letter from a guy the other day that's wanting to plant a church in a city in the South that has, to my knowledge, 20 or 30 independent fundamental Baptist churches. And there may be a need there. There probably is. But do you know there are cities in Washington State and Oregon and California, and I think in New England probably as well, of 100,000 people or more without one independent Baptist church? So think about that. That's why we took a bunch of you guys on a tour to lots of cities the other day with Dr. Shetler. We're taking a bunch of you to Arizona next semester to see brand new cities without churches. Brother Sanders is here. We'll send a bunch to Seattle. You can drive them around. Show them. We've got to recognize the need for missions in America today. Next, consider your gifts and interests in the light of the size and culture of a community you may be interested in. Is that in your notes? Well, you ought to be writing it down then. Consider your gifts and interests. Consider your gifts and interests in light of the community that you're thinking of going to. Let me help you with something. In Bible college, you need to get to know God, you need to get to know the Bible, and you need to get to know something about yourself. And some of you maybe should go right to the heart of Los Angeles. That's just, man, you're just type A, you're ready to go, you're bilingual, you're this, you're that. That's where I'm going. And go. Like Brother Abram Thomas. Brother Thomas, you here? Stand up back there. Man, starting a church in Inglewood. Let's welcome Brother Thomas, one of our church planters that's here. Awesome. Brother Abram, just like God said to Moses, what's that in your hand? Right? Throw it down. Give it to me. And Abram just said, all right, what do I got to give to God? I have a life. I have a message. I have a particular personality. I think Abram would tell you he has a burden for Black America some. And that's why he chose that city. What I'm trying to tell you here is sometimes you need to prayerfully consider your temperament, your gifts, your personality, and pray that the Lord would lead you to this right area for the planting of the church, okay? Visit the Chamber of Commerce of that city. Please write these things down. Visit the planning desk of the city. Men, you must become an expert on the churches in the area, the cost in the area, the demographics of the area. You must know the real estate values of the area. I feel fairly confident right now that as well as any realtor in this town, I know the demographics. White, Black, Hispanic, Asian. I know the real estate costs, east, west, north, south. I know where commercial buildings are available. I know where I want to plant our next satellite. Pastors need to know these things. You need to read the paper. You need to know people. Go to a chamber meeting. Get to know your council members. Know the city, all right? All right, now, letter C. Launch your website in advance of the church plant. Launch your website in advance of the church plant. My son Matt's here this morning. And he was recently went through his ordination council here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And he's getting ready to start a church in North Fontana. They've already launched the website. Why? Because you want to start piquing interest months before you even have the first service. Letter D, raise your support, but begin by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Raise your support, but begin by faith. In other words, you probably will never have quite enough. Brother Abram, I'm sure when you went to Inglewood, by the book, you maybe needed another 700 a month. But there just comes a point where you launch out into the deep and you trust God. And so raise that support, but begin by faith. A lot of church planners and a lot of missionaries are professional conference junkies. Did you hear what I said? I mean, we're taking 2 and 3 years and just touring America. And maybe that's what it takes, maybe 4 years. And I've met some church planners, 3 and 4 years. Look at you have got to get up in the morning, get on the phone, call these preachers, write letters, go to their church when you're not invited, and just aggressively call, ask, beg, go to church planters conference, raise up as much as you can, set a deadline, and go to that city and start winning souls. And don't make it a profession, because number one, you're going to get fat. Come on. That's what happens to me when I preach 10, 12 nights in a row and eat every night after church. You just put some poundage on, I'm telling you. And it gets, listen, when you start getting past 400 pounds, it's hard to raise support. They think you're fairly well supported. Don't be a professional going around the country grazing. Man, get to those churches, get that support raised. And let me just say this, I said it to my class the other day. You always ask for 3 things when you sit into that pastor's office. You ask for prayer. You ask for monthly support. And you always have a project. You're not worth your salt if you don't have a project. Your project is tracts. Your project is the mailer for your church that you want to mail out. Your project is moving expenses. I don't know what your project is, but you got to have a project. How many of you can drive on this campus and imagine we've always had a project? We've been doing a little more than just tithing around here. We've had a project. So make sure you have those 3 things when you go into the pastor's office, all right? Raising your support. Letter D, develop a purpose statement for your church. It'll go in your bulletin. Develop a purpose statement. Loving God, growing together, serving others, you know, whatever. A going church for a coming Lord. I see lots of different ones. It's better if it's something that really ties in with what you do. All right, we don't have time for that. But develop a purpose statement. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, and purpose. Letter F, stand for biblical convictions. Convictions are the spark plugs that fire the church planting engine. Now, this is counterintuitive. Now, gentlemen, please listen to me. What I'm trying to tell you is counterintuitive. There are many who think that if they lessen their convictions, I had a lady one time tell me, Pastor Chapel, I'm going to stop going to your church. You preach so strong here. I'm going to take my husband to this other church because I think there's a better chance of him getting saved there. He never got saved, and she doesn't go to church anymore. Church planting and the Christian life is the opposite of human logic. The way up is what? The way to receive is to... The Christian life's counterintuitive. So the philosophy of the world is, if we're cooler and if we just blend in, then we're going to attract more. You may attract a crowd, but not a church. If you're kind of blending to that extent, fellas, the Bible says we're not to give an uncertain sound. In fact, I believe no one should come to this church for a period of a week or two without hearing several of the doctrines in the preaching message. So you want to make sure that you're standing for these convictions. Now, here's what I want to challenge you with, and this will be on your test. Okay? I want to challenge you, if you haven't picked up on it yet, to be a countercultural church. A countercultural church. And I want to have enough grace in my heart to love you if you're somewhat different than I am in certain areas, but just generally, as I read the Bible, now look right here, as I read the Bible, I see the New Testament church was very countercultural. The Romans practiced slavery, and they thought little of children and women, but the gospel elevates the position of women and children. Jesus said, "Suffer the children to come to me." You see, the Romans were hedonistic and involved in paganism and orgies and wicked sensuality. And Christianity teaches to abstain from youthful lusts. Everything in the New Testament was against the culture of the day. Why should we be any different? God wants the church to be countercultural. Your best members, now listen very carefully, your best members will be attracted to Christ, to the gospel, to the convictions you hold. Those who are attracted merely to the trendiness rarely become soldiers of the cross. Now, I'm going to tell you one other thing. I know I'm taking a little time, Brother Gatch, so I'm sorry. What you win them with is what you keep them with. So if you win them with a rock concert, you got to keep blaring it out and blaring it out. Why don't you try to win them with Bible preaching? Because what you win them with. Now, same thing. We've never given away trips to Hawaii or bicycles here. And I'm not against that. Again, I hope you understand. I'm not saying the way we do it is the only way. I'm just saying I've always felt like, how much do you have to give away? Because what you win them with is what you keep them with. Now, you guys work in bus ministry. We probably give candy and stuff to the bus kids. I don't know. There's a place for that. But I don't want it to be all about that. I want it to be all about Jesus. I want it to be all about the Word. By the way, I believe that's what our graduates of West Coast want, too. They want it to be about the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how that you turned, watch this, to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's the New Testament in action. All right, letter G. Allow people time to grow. I don't have time to develop this one, but let me just say this. A new church is going to attract a lot of different kinds of people. The gospel light attracts a lot of strange bugs. Okay? Hear me carefully. Acceptance is the optimum environment for growth. Let's say that together. Acceptance. So here comes a guy. He's pierced. He's tattooed. You know, he's got a t-shirt on. He's got one girlfriend's name here, the other girlfriend's name there, whatever. He walks in. Now, do we accept all the piercing and tattooing and, you know, all the heavy metal? Do we accept that? Do we feel that that is acceptable behavior for a Christian? Absolutely not. Do we accept him? See what I'm saying? And in our churches where we do have a little more conservative dress and such, we've got to go out of the way to make sure they know we accept them, because they already feel rejected the minute they walk in. Now, I'm not going to start preaching in holy jeans and a t-shirt to try to make that one guy feel comfortable, but I'm not going to shun him when he walks in. I'm going to invite him to my house for dinner that night. So you got to make sure that you're constantly accepting and loving people and then giving them time to grow. Now look right here, guys. Some of the people in this church that you look at and go, man, that's a great church member. You know what they were before Christ? Drug addicts. Adulterers. Lots of them have holes where there used to be earrings. Look, I don't want to pastor a church where all that stays the same and they feel comfortable. We have now Baptist pastors getting tattoos just to blend in. I happen to believe the body is still the temple of the Holy Spirit. Where does this stop? And I asked Brother Gibbs that years ago. I said, Brother Gibbs, where does it stop? He said, Brother Chapel, we're going to have gay pastors. You just watch. And that's where it's going. You have to decide where it's going to stop. But just make sure that you do give people growth. So even though there's all these things going on, you're not condoning that, but you're still loving them where they are, all right? And what I'm telling you is a lot of these people were there, but they grew in the grace of God, and they're conforming to the image of Christ. Letter H, witness and knock on hundreds of doors weekly. Hundreds of doors weekly. I knocked on 500 doors a week for 16 months. Nothing replaces the pastor out in the community. And several verses there. Letter I, disciple new Christians regularly. Now, Mrs. Chapel and I did this in our home. We did not have a program yet. We have the Continue Discipleship book now, which I highly recommend. So you can bring these couples that are getting saved and these singles into your home or at Denny's and disciple them and help them to get grounded in their faith. All right? And you want to have new member training times. I have that once a quarter. You want to have discipleship class ongoing, okay? Letter J, listen carefully, man. I'm trying to help you. Do not envy mega churches in the area. If there's a mega church in the area, don't envy it, and listen very carefully. Don't preach against it all the time. Give your people enough biblical truth that when they come across the error of that mega church, they can defend their faith. You understand what I'm saying? So you don't need to always preach against. A lot of men are so insecure about anything that's bigger. I have people, I'm sure, that don't like our church just because this is their logic. Anything that big can't be sound. Wonder what he's compromising to get all those people over there. They ought to come look at how scarred this pulpit is from trying to preach the Word of God faithfully. Here's the point. It may be false doctrinally. If it is, preach against false doctrine. And there may be occasion where you have to sound off about that particular church. But my point is, don't fixate on it. And don't be jealous of it. Just do what God wants. A lot of pastors get discouraged because they're running 60 and there's a church of 6,000 in the area. Your church is a big church if it's correct and sound and winning souls for Christ. Don't envy those other churches. Letter K, maintain quality equipment and facilities. Colossians 3:23. Mediocrity breeds indifference, but quality attracts. Mediocrity breeds indifference, quality attracts. So you make sure that what you're doing, even if it's in a hotel lobby, even if it's in a public school, it's clean and it's quality. Letter L, preach Bible-based expository messages. Nehemiah 8:8. Cause them to understand the Bible. Help them to understand the Bible. You might preach topical messages that are biblically based. I understand that. My point is, preach the Bible, okay? 2 Timothy 4. Let me just say a couple things under preaching. Build a conservative premillennial library. Beware of Calvinism. Calvinism kills. Large church, right about an hour from here. Runs about 8,000 every Sunday. A few years ago, baptized 60 people. Because if you believe that God already is sending this many to hell and this many to heaven, then why even go out soul winning? But if you believe whosoever will may come, you better get out soul winning. Okay? Beware of these traps, these theological traps that'll kill your church plant. Letter M, nurture your family faithfully. Love your family. I said that earlier. Spend time with your children. Don't provoke them to wrath. Children rebel because of angry fathers, absent fathers, and abusive fathers. Let me say it again. Angry, absent, abusive. Write those three words down, men. Don't be an angry father. Don't be an absent father. Don't be an abusive father, just yelling all the time. Give time to your children. Now, I got to tell you something. God's blessed this church. I'm so thankful for that. But let me just tell you something, folks. The greatest joy in my life is to have four children married and serving God in the ministry today. And if we had 80 in church last Sunday, but my family was serving God, it's all good. Don't sacrifice your family on the altar of the ministry. More than one good man has done that. Letter N, plan regular training times and special preaching meetings. I'm talking about revival meetings, deacons training, preaching conferences. Letter O, define success biblically. Now, what is success? It is required of a steward that a man be found what? Success is not simply numerical. Nothing wrong with growth, but some of the greatest churches ever started had two and three for weeks in their attendance. Many young independent Baptist church planters have become discouraged by a lack of expected results, and they have abandoned their biblical philosophy in pursuit of the world's definition of success. So define success before you start. Success is being faithful to the Word. And letter P, pray for the flock fervently. Pray. Pray for those people whose doors you've knocked on. Pray for those people who visited once. Pray for those people that haven't been back yet. Pray for revival. Pray for salvation. Pray. Seek the face of God in all of these matters, that God would anoint, bless, and empower the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this conference is entitled Glorify 118, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And we've taken some time. We've covered some philosophy and some practical things. We've talked about the priority of biblical principles. We've talked about the philosophy of biblical church growth, and then we've talked about some of the practical side of things. And you're going to hear a lot of wonderful messages, but I trust that you'll take what you've heard and let God blend it and use it in your life. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we just pray that there would be from this congregation men who would plant churches in the spirit of the book of Acts chapter 13.